thankful tonight for the message that Brother Danny has brought to us. I appreciate his enthusiasm about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the message he has brought to us. I had another subject on my mind tonight, but he's really stirred my mind up on Matthew chapter 11. And I'd like to not improve on his message, but just try to have a little connection with what he has preached to us this evening about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very unique character in the Bible. He was a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And Jesus made a very interesting statement about John here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a compliment. Jesus says, of men born of women, there's never been one greater than John the Baptist. Now he's talking about all the Old Testament characters, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. None of them were greater than John the Baptist. And yet Jesus says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Who is the least member of Cool Springs Church tonight? Now, if we took a vote, how many of y'all would volunteer? I'm the least. I would hope all of us feel that way. But there is one that's, I guess, the least. Jesus said there is such a thing as the least in the kingdom of heaven. But the least person would be greater than John the Baptist. So let's just say Brother Sam is the least in Cool Springs Church. In what way could I ever be greater than John the Baptist? Certainly not in courage. Brother Danny pointed out tonight his courage in standing up against royalty and condemning their unscriptural marriage. That's courage. I wouldn't be greater than John in my ability to teach. In what way would I be greater than John? Because I believe I am in the kingdom of heaven, and John never was. I would be greater than John in the position I hold in the church. See, John never was in the church. He never was baptized. He was authorized by heaven to baptize. He even baptized Jesus. But he himself was never baptized. And that's how you get into the kingdom of heaven, through baptism. So Jesus gives him this incredible compliment. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus called him the friend of the bridegroom. You remember? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus Christ is showing us how important the church is. How many of y'all see that tonight? Do you know the church is the greatest institution on the face of this earth? That's why I want to treat it with love and respect and honor. Jesus, let's look at a text over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his what? His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the body of Christ. He's the head, and the church is the body. How do you want to treat? Let me tell you, how you treat the church is really how you're treating Jesus tonight. I don't think y'all got that. How you treat Cool Springs Church is how you're treating Jesus. Because he's not here tonight in his physical body. But he is here through the church. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1. The church is his body.
Right.
And I appreciate what our brother said tonight about nitpicking and criticizing and all that. When you start nitpicking and criticizing people in the church, Jesus Christ takes it personally. When he met Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road and Saul fell down, I know y'all have heard that referred to many times, Jesus asked him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou the church?" No. "Why persecutest thou me?" Saul never laid a hand on Jesus as far as we know. He didn't persecute Jesus. He didn't help crucify him. And yet Jesus says, when you're persecuting my church, I take it personally. You're persecuting me. So I don't want to persecute Brother Danny or any of you all. I want to love y'all. God called me 55 years ago, I believe, to preach and teach and pastor the church. And my burden has been all these years to feed the church, feed the sheep and the lambs, and protect them from selfish preachers and wolves. I'm here to try to feed the church and to protect the church. And I certainly am not here to try to harm the church. Does that make sense to any of y'all tonight? So the church, beloved, is a glorious institution. And just being a part of it. How many of us tonight recognize what a privilege it is to know the true gospel, to know where the true church is, and to be a part of it? And I want to tell you, the church is not American. It's not European. It's not Middle Eastern. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is all over the planet. Now, Jesus Christ gives John this great compliment. And John has served the Lord Jesus very well. But as Brother Danny pointed out, John was arrested and put in prison. He's no longer free and at liberty to go and to preach the gospel. So now, in prison, he is beginning to have some doubts. And I must confess that I've struggled with some doubts over the years. How many of y'all have? I appreciate what the brother in the New Testament said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Can y'all identify with that? I can identify with Thomas. You know, Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe until I put my hand in the wounded side." And Jesus let him do it. Whatever you need to help you believe, Jesus will give it to you. But I want to tell you what Jesus went on to say. He said, "Blessed are those that have never seen and yet believe." That's us tonight, isn't it? I've never seen Jesus with my natural eyes, but I believe in him with all my heart and soul. But doubts can beset us. Your mind is a dangerous place. Did you know that? Somebody said one time, "Treat your mind like a bad neighborhood and don't go there alone." Take the Holy Spirit with you and take the Bible with you. Because if you get up there in your mind, and it's just you and your mind can come up with a lot of crazy stuff. It's a dangerous neighborhood. That's why Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." and lean not to what? Thine own understanding. We can get in big trouble when we try to start figuring everything out. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct thy steps. You know, it's so foolish to pray to God for direction and then start telling Him where to send you. He's God. And if you don't watch out, your mind can be full of doubts. And what can cause God's children to have doubts? Well, in John's situation, it was imprisonment. I'm sure the devil was right there on his shoulder saying, John, you know, if you were one of God's men, He wouldn't let you be in prison. There's just no way. Don't you reckon the devil told him that? Well, it's a difficult situation John is in. Unmet expectations. I tell you, one of the greatest blessings in life, beloved, is for you and me to keep our expectations in reality. Don't expect things beyond what they really are. Very important. Keep our expectations in reality. What helps us when we're dealing with our doubts and fears? The Word of God, preaching as our brother has done tonight. I've been to church heavy-hearted and downcast and hear a good gospel sermon or a good lively song service, and it would just lift me up. Yes, sir? That's where we need to take our doubts and fears, to the Word of God and to the house of God. And so here is John. Sending his disciples to Jesus and saying, art thou the Christ? Or do we look for another? He's bad. He's in bad shape. Would y'all agree with that? John is down for the count. And our brother has reviewed with us tonight what message Jesus said. Go tell him again. All these things. I want to turn over with you to Luke chapter 4 and notice in verse 8. Well, let's begin in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Where did Jesus go? Listen to this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up as a child. He was brought up in Nazareth by Mary and Joseph. And as his custom was, what was his custom? He went to the synagogue. Was that a good custom? Jesus went to the house of worship. That ought to be our custom. And y'all being here on a Sunday night, apparently it's y'all's custom. That's a good custom to have. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. I've always found that verse interesting. Jesus is in the synagogue, and they bring to him the prophecy of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book and found the place, I can just see Jesus flipping through the prophecy of Isaiah. Here's Isaiah 6, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 55. Oh, now we're over here to Isaiah 61. Don't criticize preachers for reading their Bibles in the pulpit. Jesus did it. Right? Listen. He says, when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Here is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the divine author of Holy Scripture. And what does he do when he stands up to preach? He goes right to the Bible that we've got tonight. That ought to tell us how glorious the Bible is. Would y'all agree? And Jesus begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Not just poor naturally, but poor in spirit. Those who recognize their spiritual poverty. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. Now, he sends his messengers back to John, who is in prison, and he says, "You go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." And beloved, when you and I are struggling with some doubts about our salvation or our calling or anything in life, we need to bring it to the Word of God and the house of God and pray that the Spirit of the Lord will minister to our minds and to our hearts. Now, let's notice something else Jesus says in verse 6. "And blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me." You know, we read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. The beautiful Beatitudes that Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with. But here is what we might call the forgotten Beatitude. "And blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me." How many of us sometimes get offended in Jesus? That's not a good place to be. The Bible tells us we're not to be offended to him. And so we rejoice tonight that God has blessed John with a message from the Lord Jesus. Jesus sends John this message. And I'm sure John was blessed as he received the message. And you know, it wasn't long after this, his head was severed from his body and presented on a platter. You remember that? But I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that when John was about to be beheaded, he was rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. I believe that with all my heart and soul. John got over being offended. And the message that Christ sent him was able to give him encouragement as he faced even death itself. And we rejoice in that wonderful truth tonight. And you know, we read in the Scriptures about Paul and Silas being in prison. And you know what they were doing in prison? They weren't having a pity party. They weren't saying, "Lord, why have you let us be locked away in prison?" You know what they were doing in prison at midnight? They were singing. Now, prison then was not pleasant at all. They were in stocks. The Bible says in their innermost prison, they were in stocks and bonds. Not the kind you get on Wall Street. Their hands and their feet were in stocks. They were bound up and in that horrible condition. If you've ever been to Colonial Williamsburg, you've seen some of those stocks where they would put people in Colonial Williamsburg. I tell you, that'd be tough to be, have your head stuck through a vise and your hands locked in and you can't move. That's where Paul and Silas was. You know what they were doing at midnight? No complaining, no murmuring. They began to sing and praise God at midnight in a prison. That was the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you know you and I can be that way? If we'll keep our minds on Jesus Christ and not on our troubles, and just start counting our blessings. See, you can get to where you doubt your doubts. you can get to where you say these doubts are all of the devil. They're not true. I'm not going to be captivated by my doubts. You see, beloved, doubting is the opposite of faith. And you and I are called to live by faith and not by sight. And Paul and Silas, from a jailhouse at midnight, began to sing. And I'm telling you, they weren't singing, woe is me. They weren't singing, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but me. Y'all ever heard that song? That's a theme song for some people. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, they weren't singing that kind of song. I believe they were singing the kind of song that David said in Psalm 105 we ought to be singing. Singing to the Lord praises and adoration. And you know what? God was with them in that prison. And there are a lot of kinds of prisons that you and I can be in this life. A lot of them. But I want to tell you, if we will stay in the Word, and as our brother has said tonight, listen to the gospel and internalize it and actually live by it. And it's not just something we hear, but we act. See, when you come to church, you really need to be paying attention.
Amen.
And the preacher needs to have something on his mind and heart to feed you. But the devil, the Holy Spirit, we need the Spirit with us. Brother Danny and I fully agree with that. But I tell you, somebody else that always shows up at church, and that's the devil. He's here tonight, somewhere. I doubt if you and I are worthy of his attention, but he's probably sent some of his minor demons over here to Cool Springs tonight. You got to really be important for the devil to show up. Does that make any sense? See, Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere present and nowhere absent. But his demons have managed to be everywhere I've ever been. And he's here tonight. And if he can, he's going to interrupt you from hearing this service. And if he can, he's going to discourage the preacher from preaching. Brother Dan, have you ever been up trying to preach and two or three people have fallen asleep about two rows back? And all you can see is those two or three. Or somebody's on the back row playing with the smartphone. And you spot them and you think, I might as well just quit. See, that's the devil. Instead of focusing on all the folks that are there to really worship and learn, Satan wants the preacher to focus in on two or three that are a real distraction. When you come to church, really you ought to come praying and be focused. It may not be the best sermon you've ever heard, but hopefully if it's from the Word, it'll be something we need and a bit of benefit from. See, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. We're blessed in this area to have visiting elders to come in like Brother Danny and preach to us. We didn't have that in Birmingham. It was very rare you ever had a visiting preacher to drop in. That was just unheard of. There's a shortage of preachers over there. Thank God for men that He's called to preach and are willing to go and serve wherever God calls them. Thank you all for your wonderful attention tonight. May God help us to be thankful that we are blessed to be in the church. And if you're not in the church, but you'd like to be, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to join the church. Now you say, I don't want to join that church. There's too many hypocrites in there. There was an old preacher up in Bel Air, Maryland one time, Elder Thompson, and a lady told him, I'm not going to join y'all's church. There's too many hypocrites. He said, well, there's always room for one more. I imagine Cool Springs got at least one hypocrite. I don't know who it might be. It could be me. I don't know. But I tell you, I don't want the hypocrite to keep me from being a part of it. What about y'all? See, if you got your eyes on the people, you might never join. If you got your eyes on Jesus, it's His body. Thank you for your attention.